Hey y'all, it's your guy Joey Wedges here. I'm here today to talk to you about our friends at Vuori, and more specifically, the MetaPant. I got a pair of these a little over 2 weeks ago, and I gotta say, it's been tough to take them off. If you're like me and you're super picky about your golf pants, are they too loose, too tapered, too swishy, not tapered enough, not enough stretch? Enter the MetaPant. The material is incredibly stretchy, and the waist even stretches a little bit in case you're kind of a tweener on sizes. Kind of tall, like our guy Carl. Carl is 6'6", and they have a 34-inch inseam that fits just right. I also am a little bit in between on the inseam, and so I found that the 30-inch inseam was perfect for me. I own at least six other pairs of golf pants from major brands, and I've got to say, these take the cake. From quality of the materials to the fit, they check all the boxes. Head on over to VuoriClothing.com, VuoriClothing.com, and use coupon code HHC at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. Well, we're back again this week, and this week we're super excited to have PGA Tour caddy Danny Saul with us. Danny is a former Kent State collegiate player. He played on the Canadian Tour and was a caddy for Mike Weir, Corey Connors, and Vijay Singh. And of course, the 2019 closest to the pin champion at the Players' Championship. Danny, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on your show, for sure. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got into the game of golf.
Well, I grew up in Canada, and my parents divorced when I was young, and it was actually my stepfather's side of the family that was kind of in the golf. Well, was in the golf. My uncle was a master pro, and so I just grew up in a golf course. That was my first job as a kid, and I got really good young. I was 12 years old, and I shot 74 in a tournament, so I figured, hey, this is something I kind of want to do. And, you know, 13 years old, I was a scratch golfer, and that's the only thing I wanted to do was play on the tour. So, you know, it kind of got me through my high school, and I traveled all across Canada and played on Team Canada and Team Alberta. And ended up getting me a scholarship to Kent State University, so that was nice. And then, I turned pro in 2001 and kind of never really looked back. I grinded it on the Canadian Tour for years, and finally I got a win, 2011, which was nice. And, you know, I struggled to get through that Q school every year. That was the toughest thing for me. I ended up missing by one shot twice to get to the final stage. So it was just tough going. So I ended up, So, you know, I got to about 508 in the world, I think my best ranking was. And I basically just, you know, in order to keep going, I needed the funding to do it. So it was just tough to do. And so that's kind of how I turned to caddy. And his putting coach at the time was kind of working with Mike Weir on the tour. And that's kind of how I got hooked up with him. But actually, rewinding a little bit, I had a really bad year my first year as a pro, and that's how I ended up caddying for my college teammate, Ben Curtis, who ended up winning the British Open that year.
Yeah, so you got recruited. There were a lot of Canadians on your college team, right?
Yeah, our college coach, Herb Page, at the time, is Canadian. So, you know, it was kind of the alleyway for, you know, back then it was tough. This was back when, you know, you didn't really know about universities and whatnot in Canada. This is when the internet was kind of just first coming out. I remember looking at some old stuff on the internet about colleges. And next thing you know, I ended up getting into a college tournament in Hudson, Ohio, when I was 16 years old. And I ended up finishing fifth, and my college coach, you know, at Kent State, it's really close to there, Hudson, Ohio. So he came and watched another guy from Alberta. And then what happened was, we're like, well, I don't know who this guy is, but I want to know who he is. And I was talking about me because I was playing pretty good. And since I have a late birthday, I was only 17 when I went to college. So I never got recruited. I didn't go through the recruiting stages. And so that's how I ended up basically at Kent State.
Very cool. That's very cool. So straight out of college, you said you started grinding on tour and trying to make it. Tell us a little bit about that. I know that, you know, we've had some guys on. One of my former roommates and a buddy named Zach Radford. He's kind of known for his stinger videos on YouTube. But he was talking to us when he used to play a lot of tournaments, just about like the pressure would just get to him, and he'd kind of be just like walking between holes and just felt like he didn't know what to do with his hands and stuff like that. How was it playing on tour for you? Did you have to like work any jobs to kind of like get any money to go back out or anything like that? Or were you pretty much just out there grinding?
I mean, I had a pretty good support team through my years. I had a nice sponsor my first year, and I struggled, so he lost faith in me, and that I was done. And then I ended up getting some support from my family, which I was very lucky to have that, be able to have that that means to do it. And then, I was always able to kind of establish decent relationships with people, and I always played good kind of team at the right time for guys just to give me a little bit of money, and I just kind of grinded it out. And, you know, I ended up, it kind of came to an end here in like 2011, or just after I won. And then that's how I got hooked up with Mike Weir. I was still kind of working on my game down in Florida, and my putting coach, Marius Stillmalter, who's a world renowned putting coach, he was working with Mike a little bit at the Honda Classic in Palm Beach Gardens. And so I told Mike Weir, I go, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I'm not sure if I can keep playing or want a caddy. And so I ended up, he took me on board. So anyways, the story is that I ended up caddying for Mike Weir for a few years. And I ended up getting a sponsor's invite to a Canadian tour event and in 2015. And I ended up finishing second. I lost by a shot. So taking the time off playing and then caddying and then get a spot, and I finished solo second. I ended up getting full status back on the Canadian tour. It was the Canadian tour. At this time, it was the Mackenzie tour. Mm-hmm. So under the PGA Tour ball. So now I got a new kind of, I got energized to play again. And, you know, I played okay throughout the year, but it was just an opportunity that happened. And I ended up doing pretty good doing the caddy and still trying to play a bit.
Yeah. Did you feel like, I mean, as you were caddying, did you feel like it was kind of like taking over your schedule, or were you still able to kind of get out and practice and kind of balance that, or how did you balance that?
I just balanced it out myself. I just learned ways how to do it. Nothing like working on your swing in the hotel room. That's just as good as hitting balls. So yeah. That's kind of how I did it, you know? I had some pretty good help throughout my time, and, you know, I'm a student of the game, and I felt like my time on the tours, whether it was working for Mike Weir or Vijay Singh, I've learned so much from them that I could just take bits and pieces out of what they taught me or showed me or what to do or think and put it into my game. So now that I'm a little bit older, I still feel like I still got a little bit in me. But my time right now is with Corey Connors, and he's an amazing player, and I'm just really excited to be working for him. He's so simplified versus, you know, what they used to do and how they practice. Now the way he practices is so efficient now that it's given me a little different perspective on how to practice, and I didn't think I had that when I was playing.
That's very cool. So, Corey, another Canadian, he's actually, he's from Listowel, and I got to ask, are you guys big Letterkenny fans?
I'm not sure.
Music, yeah.
The what?
With music,
Yes, Letterkenny. I don't know. I honestly don't. Maybe I've heard.
Well, if you haven't watched it, you got to check it out. It's a great show about a fictitious Canadian town, but I know the creator is from, he's from Listowel, and it's kind of based on just like a.
I will definitely look it up.
Yeah, it's on Hulu, and it's I hear it's like, I didn't really watch the Trailer Park Boys, but I hear it's kind of like the new Trailer Park Boys.
Well, I know that.
Yes.
Growing up.
So you and Corey have been having some success. I mean, seventh at the Players, third at the Arnold Palmer. It's really a great season, and now you're at the Texas Open, which Corey won a couple years ago. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I know. I've been here twice, and I failed twice making a cut with Mike Weir, who was struggling at the time, and then and VJ was, you know, he was really close, and for Corey Connors to shoot 20 under par on this golf course, I'm just like, that's golfing your ball. I don't care. I mean, unbelievable how he shot that. I mean, today it was 25 mile an hour winds, and you know, you're hitting the long irons into these holes. So for him to go out and shoot what he did was unreal. So obviously he has a lot of confidence, and he's excited to be here. And yeah, it's a great warm up for the Masters, and we kind of cut the rough, just kind of like first cut at the Masters. So it's kind of gets us in the mood of how these undulating greens are and just driving the ball good out here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we'll definitely be rooting for you guys out there. So you also have worked with Vijay Singh, of course. Are you still working with him, or are you guys not working together currently right now?
No, he's just, you know, his schedule is a lot different now this year, and he's changing the way he's doing things. And it was just our time to kind of move on. And, you know, I love the guy, and he's been great for me, and he's changed my life for the better. And, yeah, he's just taught me lots about the game and how to caddy and work hard. And so I'm taking everything I've learned through him and helping Corey out.
Awesome. Very cool. So it kind of leads me to my next question. So like as a caddy, if you're working with someone like Vijay, who's kind of been to the top of that mountain and, you know, former world number one, how is that approach working with someone like him versus working with someone like Corey, who's becoming, you know, a household name?
Well, I keep it consistent. You know, I know their work ethics. I worked for Mike Weir, who had a really great work ethic. And so obviously VJ hitting a lot of golf balls. Corey in his own right is a very, very dedicated hard worker, but he's efficient. I find that he's more efficient than when I worked for Mike Weir, who was struggling with his swing a bit. And then obviously he's playing great now, which I'm happy for him. He kind of found his way again, which is great. Anyways, and Vijay, who is always trying to be better, you know, so he's always working on his swing. Well, Corey is, but he's doing it differently. And like I said, he's not wasting a lot of energy. He's a guy that he could go play 5 or 6 weeks in a row just because the way he works. And so for me, it's just been an easy transition to work, go from one guy who's, I'm on the driving range all night long, to a guy that, you know, let's give us 3 hours and we're done. And he works hard and he puts his practice into playing situations.
Awesome. So what's like, for those that don't know, what is like a typical tournament day look like for you?
Well, you know, usually Mondays are travel days for us. During majors, we're there on Monday, but you know, we got to get tested in the morning. Once that comes through, then, you know, sometimes Corey will maybe play 9 holes, depending if it's a Monday pro-am or not. He might just work on just a little bit of short game or putting. Tuesday, he might do 9 holes, maybe 18 if he hasn't seen the golf course, if it's new. But in Wednesday, usually, you know, the pro-ams on Wednesday he's in. So we just kind of keep it light as far as playing. Again, if we needed to do more practice or more prep on the golf course, we'll do that. But I just feel like with these long 4 weeks in a row schedule, you can't be out there just riding it out. Corey's very smart. He has a photographic memory, so he can see something, get a game plan right away. So it's not like he doesn't know and underprepared.
Gotcha. So I'm thinking about, like, you know, there's so many situations that can happen, and you're kind of like, your mind is probably moving all day. If your guy, I know a couple weeks ago Corey holed out for an eagle. Is that kind of like a relief for you in that moment, because you know you don't have to go up there and read that green and try and figure out what everything's doing, or is that even something that goes through your mind?
I don't know, man. I'm just looking around, enjoying the moment with him. You know, it was a great shot, went in. And, you know, you just try to be even keeled out there. You can't get your heart rate too far up and too far down. You just kind of just steady, and that's how he is. You know, he, whether it's a good shot or bad shot, he treats it the same. He's a guy that, you know, if he hit a bad shot, he just hands me the club. Most guys will be sitting there grinding, looking on the, working on whether, you know, little parts of their swing, why it broke down. Corey just kind of hands me the club and we move on. So whether it's a good shot or a bad shot, it's always the same.
Yeah, totally. So when you're working with a new guy, how do you kind of like manage their expectations for you, and how they expect you to operate? Is that like a meeting that you guys have, or do you just kind of get a feel for them for a little bit?
It's like a marriage. It's like you're in the honeymoon stages the first few months. You're learning each other, what your mannerisms are, what your ways are, how you speak, how you act. It's just you kind of let it happen organically.
Yeah.
And those are the best relationships. And obviously we have a background together, so we got common interests. We got things to talk about. We got, you know, we both went to Kent State. We both love hockey. I like one hockey team. He likes another. We're on the same division. So we got things to talk about and, you know, keep it fresh all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got the Masters coming up next week, and it's very exciting. When you're working at a course like that with just arguably the greatest tournament of the year, and do you get time to kind of like, or do you ever just find yourself, you know, taking a moment to kind of soak everything in around you, or do you feel like it's just kind of move when you're out there?
Well, I was at the beginning, but my first Masters, I told Mike Weir, I said, Mike, I need to get the wow factor out of this. Let's go play it. So he knew a member there and a really good friend of his. And so we got to play Augusta in March. So by the time I got there in April, I at least knew what the heck I was getting myself into. And it took a little bit of that for me, the wow factor, away from it. But obviously I enjoyed the experience putting on the jumper and being out there. And you don't realize how difficult that golf course is to walk. But since it's a Masters, you don't even think about it.
So cool. Very cool. Well, Danny, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you connecting with us. This has been a real treat for us. So again, thank you. Thanks for connecting with us, and we'll be rooting for you guys this week and next week.
That sounds great. I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
All right.
For having me on your show.